You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Don and Phoebe's here with us.
Really?
As well. Yes, Phoebe's here with us. Now, I purposely didn't tell you who we're going to speak to next, and I don't know if Phoebe knew who we were going to speak to, because I wanted to make this impromptu. I have no notes, but I want to speak to a person I've known for many years, played football with him, played football against him, was on the radio with him when he was a media personality, have watched him on television when he had his own show, and have watched a decline in his public profile because of some issues he has had with his mental acuity. He is a very well-known person around the world, and particularly in the field of fishing. He's world renowned fisherman, and he has been revered by public broadcasters, and he's been rebuked, and he's been criticized like we all have. And I have known him for many years, and I want to genuinely ask him about where he's headed and why he's got into the positions he has in life, his latter years of life. He's a friend of mine, an unconditional friend of mine, and they're the best to have. And sometimes we get criticised, and I'm going to warn him now that we don't edit this, so don't slander or libel anyone. But you might find this interesting, because whether you like him or not, he's a person of interest, and he is Rex Hunt. Welcome to You Cannot Be Serious, Rex.
Thank you, Sam, and Don and Fiona, thank you.
Now, first of all, Rex, I've known you for many years, and I've seen you in the bad times since you finished football and calling and all that. We'll get on to that in a minute. But as you sit here, you are very sensible and lucid and look completely normal. How can you go from being, I've spoken to you over many months and even years, when you've been down and out, and I've been to visit you in mental institutions, you look completely relaxed and normal and sensible now. Not sensible, but you look as though you're in charge of your facilities. What is going on in that cranium of yours? Great term of yours. What's going on in your brain as we speak?
Well, obviously, at the moment, Sam, I'm quite happy to just go along with life and not make a fool of myself, and just understand that it's never ever going to be the same when I got hooked on pain-killing drugs when I had my neck operation, and it's about as simple as that, and then my whole life changed, particularly above the shoulders.
Many say that I'm saying this, that you are living, you're in denial, Rex. You found it hard, did you not? This is a question, not a statement. Did you find it hard to adjust to life outside being the megastar you were as far as broadcasting goes for two decades on 3AW and on Channel 7, your own show? Did you find it hard when you dropped off the limelight to adjust to, did you just find it hard, Rex, and that's why you're living in denial or you're delusional about it?
Well, I don't agree with the words denial or delusional. It's a very, very real fact that I'm not on the radio anymore, that I love doing it. It wasn't the ideal ending at 3AW because of my own actions and taking a few liberties with telling people what I thought of them. And it's as simple as that. It's just life will never ever be the same. Mental illness is a nasty word in somewhat, but until it happens to you, I had no idea the ups and downs that your mind goes through, particularly when you suffer what I was suffering.
So you have mental illness problems, mm-hmm. and are you saying that you became mentally ill, if you like, through the painkillers you took for a debilitating neck injury?
Absolutely, that's exactly what happened. And is that I overdosed on opioids, and went downhill very, very quickly.
Are you on something at the moment to counter that?
No, I'm not. No, I'm completely off opioids. I'm certainly on a couple of medications from my psychiatrist to try and level out my brain, but it's a big thing. It's a big thing in your life, and it's a big thing to talk about it, because the thing that I think about it is that if I could help somebody understand that you can be what's, you know, normal or quite normal in your particular mind, and the next moment you're in a straitjacket down in a facility.
So is it a chemical thing within the brain to...
The chemical imbalance in the brain. Yeah.
So if you were to just...
I've been diagnosed with bipolar depression, high highs and low lows.
Rex, when did you get that diagnosis?
Oh, it'd be 6 years ago.
Yeah.
One night after Footy Nightline on 3AW, I just had a meltdown. I drove down to Phillip Island and started to ring everybody, including you and Eddie, and I felt feeling sorry for myself, and that's when I found myself for 6 weeks in the facility down at Tarelga.
And when did you have the neck operation that first introduced you to these very high-strength painkillers?
Oh, the first neck operation was 7 years ago now.
Yeah.
And I tried to get some relief, and it didn't work, and it still hasn't worked, but I'm not on heavy painkillers anymore.
Well, you've had great support from a handful of friends.
Yes.
John Locko has been of great help, and John Van Wisser and Sammy Solomon, a lot of... very good support as far as that. You've struggled with Lynn, your wife. You've struggled with her because she has her own problems. Mm-hmm. Has your domestic situation contributed to your mental acuity or the lack of mental prowess?
No, I hold myself totally responsible for what's happened, but it's a very private Lynn between Lynn and I. We're working on it, but things sometimes aren't ideal.
And what about your family? Are they a support to you?
My children certainly aren't, no.
So it's had an effect upon the whole family.
Oh, the whole family's busted up, yeah. Simple as that. And it's very, very sad, but things happen. It's just that I'm in a very, very difficult place at the moment, because it's difficult to try and get everyone together when you're trying to get yourself together.
Do you think your family will... Do you think you'll reunite the unity that your family once had?
Well, Lynn and I are both helping that we can do that, but I don't know whether it's realistic or not. But it's a very, very private thing.
We would have to ask you about it, whether you want to speak about it or not, and you've answered that. So the halcyon days, Rex, of when you were a huge star of calling the football, you started off by probably taking over from Harry Beitzel in those days. And I sat next to you for many years with Ron Barassi and Bill Jacobs, and you started off with this flamboyant style, and then it just went... it seemed that you tried to outdo yourself every week because you were popular and people loved it, and in the end, calling the football was almost incidental. People just listened to your description, a colourful description of calling the game and the identities. Did it get out of hand? Did you not... Was it just had a head of steam and you didn't know how to control it?
I knew how to control it, all right, but it was very, very successful, not only for me and the team, but also for 3AW, who made, a very, very good bottom line. But it was my style. It was my choice to go in. I didn't want to be, he's a poor man's Harry Beitzel, or he's a, poor man's whoever was yelling and screaming. It was my style. The nicknames were my style, and I did it my way. And I don't think many times I got ahead of myself. Once or twice I might have been thinking, how good am I? But that's just natural. There's an ego thing in it.
And there's an old saying of mine, Rex, never call someone's bluff unless you know what the answer's going to be. Various station managers and people who tried to control you, it sort of fell on deaf ears because you were the flavour of the month. And were you ever rebuked or told or threatened or warned by management of either the television station you're on, or particularly 3AW, that you'd have to pull back a bit or that'd be it? And you thought, well, if I pull back, that probably won't be it, because people love what I'm doing.
Well, I can remember when the Shizen first hit the fans and Triple M first beat us for the first time when you and Eddie destroyed us. And I was in Europe at the time. And the thing about it is, I came home. It was that important. And you might have been. No, you might have gone to Triple M, and Robert Walls was there. We all sat in the room at 3AW. We got this. Don't do this. Don't do that. We put up the next week. We continued on in our normal way, and we got back on top of the ratings. So it was simple as that.
But there seemed to be a number of Rex Hunts. You had a Rex Hunt for the fishing. You had Rex Hunt for the television show of a Sunday morning on Channel 7. And there was Rex Hunt on the radio. Three different personalities and three contrasting personalities.
I wouldn't agree with contrasting personalities.
Well, you didn't carry on in your fishing show like you did with your radio,
well,
for example.
Well, I was very, very enthusiastic because I was very keen to get kids into fishing, because unless we get new people into areas that need growth, you'll never ever grow them, if you understand what I'm saying there. And that's what I did to get kids into fishing.
And probably the football calling side of it, you'd put that down to theatre.
No doubt.
Because
that's what the people wanted.
That is correct. Mm. And you wouldn't get away or wouldn't be relevant to do that on the fishing show, because fishing was your serious vocation and you are world renowned for fishing. I know that for a fact.
Yes.
Because people, great identities overseas, I know this for a fact, have watched your fishing shows and revere you as a fisherman.
Very nice, thank you.
Well, I'm not saying that.
Actually, Rex, you received an award recently, I understand, for your services to the fishing industry.
Yes, it was on behalf of the Australian government by the state government for services dedicated to promoting fishing and families throughout Australia. And it was lovely.
Which you didn't turn up to.
No, I wasn't well, Sam. I was actually in bed.
No, I'm not criticising you. I'm sort of criticising you for it. You could have gone.
I couldn't get out of bed, Sam, with my.
The other side of the fishing on a serious side, and I was really up again, and I was critical because I lived down that way, and I saw the scallop boats going out from down around Rye and whatever.
Yeah. 87 of them.
Yeah, and they're now gone. But you were part. You were with others. Responsible for trying to rejuvenate the bay or reinvigorate the bay as a breeding spot for fishing. Are you proud of what you've done there?
Absolutely, I see that.
And what are the results? Have you had any results?
Well, the conditions, not only just the fishing, and the reefs are growing and the scallops and mussels are growing again. The thing about it is the quality of the water. And there was another big hoo-ha about the channel, the new chipping channel that came in. All I see is it's improved the situation. Port Phillip Bay, I believe, is in as good a condition as it's been in my lifetime. And that's because 87 scallop boats were moved out, and now a lot of them are fishing for squid and scallops in Bass Strait, and it's a win-win for everybody.
And what did you actually do and propose to get the bay back to what
it is? We proposed that we would introduce some licence money for the fishermen, and that licence money, with money backed by the government, would go to the licence holders of scallops who were paid out, and then there was no more scalloping in Port Phillip.
Okay, but what about the growing of food for the, you know, the fish and or sanctuaries or whatever else? Yeah, was there anything let nature take its part?
No, there's been marine parks introduced, and there's been mussels relayed and scallops relayed and oysters relayed, and the bottom of the bay at the moment, which is called the Benthos, is in as good as condition as it was prior to scallop boats dredging it.
So you were involved, like we all are, Rex. We've been involved in controversies, but yours were well publicised, where you said that in the middle of one morning you were attacked by some people with a piece of 4B2, and you've been beaten up and you've been put in a straitjacket down in Gippsland somewhere. Figments of your imagination, or did they really happen? And what demons did you have to fight to overcome those extraordinary circumstances?
Well, they certainly weren't figments of my imagination. They were real things, and they actually happened. And on my phone, I've actually got 2 minutes after I was threatened and attacked by those two blokes down at Little River.
Why were you out in the middle of the morning, like at 2 and 3 a.m. in the morning? Why were you out? Because you felt you had to... Why were you out?
Well, when you go fishing and go to Lake Purren Beach, you have to leave home early to go fishing down at Lake Purren Beach with your friends, Sam, and that's the idea of going fishing, going early.
Rex, could I ask you just where you're comfortable to? I think Sam's trying to ask what happened earlier this year, because a lot of people were really, really concerned about you when you had an incident earlier this year. And if you're comfortable, can you talk us through what happened?
Well, I was on my way to Lake Purren Beach very early in the morning, 3 o'clock or something like that, and I pulled into the service station just near Lindsay Fox's airport at Avenel. And there was a bloke over the top of the fridge looking at some bait, and I said, where are you going? He said, down there. I said, you need that? And I noticed these two blokes drove up alongside me, and they were of African appearance, two of them. And one called me White Eyes and said, give us your wallet, White Eyes. So I gave him a piece of my mouth, and he said, I'll cut your throat and your dog's throat and that sort of thing. So I took off, went down past the overpass, put my hazards on and called Triple O, which is recorded. And I'd just been then... noticed the car coming up from behind me and looked across, and there was a silver barrel, I reckon it was a 22, pointed at me and shot over the top of my head, and then I tripled out again. And then the police came down and they made a recommendation that I'd be actually locked up, because it was a figment of my imagination. I didn't imagine anything. I saw the knife that threatened myself and my dog. I saw the bullet, or didn't see, I heard the bullet that whizzed over the top of my head, and I ended up in the lockup.
And then that has been quantified and verified. Has it? The police?
Well, I've got the police report at home, Sam. Right. They recommend.
Yeah, but you had a problem with the Africans, you told, when you're on your first trip onto our first interview, when you went down to Turin. You were attacked down there by Africans.
That was 5 or 6 years ago, when four of them came up from behind me and asked me for my wallet and that sort of thing. So I went to the back of my car and just got a little persuader, and they actually went.
Yeah, a bit of 4B2.
Sorry, Sam. I was going to say, Rex, can you... So you got some assistance following that incident down at Avalon.
I was taken to hospital, to Geelong Psychiatric Hospital, where you and Johnny Locker came down.
Correct.
And can you talk us through just the support that you've received and the help that you've got in recent months, just to get everything back on track and just to make you feel a bit better.
Everything on track. The thing about it is it takes a long time, and I may not ever get over my mental illness. But the thing about it is I'm trying to control it. I spent the next 7 weeks in the Victoria Clinic at Prahran, just in my own room on some special medication, and then I was discharged a few weeks ago.
So the reason we probably ask all these questions just on this matter, we'll get on to some more positive things in a minute. The reason we ask you this is... because you are a high-profile person dealing with mental problems, and there are many people out there, and if they can gain any inspiration or guidelines from what's going on with you, maybe they can use it to their advantage.
Well, I hope
that's
they
why.
Can.
So I asked you when you rang me at, and you've rung plenty of people, and this you rang me at all hours. I said to you when I went down to visit you in Geelong at the psychiatric place down there, I said, Rex, why would you be out? I know you've answered this question, but why would you be out at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. in the morning? And you say, because you've got to get up early to go fishing. Surely, Rex, you're not working at the minute, and it's just a recreation. Surely you could go at 8 in the morning and go down fishing and spend the day.
What's that got to do with? So what's
fish don't bite late in the day.
Fish don't bite late in the day. Have you ever been fishing with Rex?
Never.
I would say, Rex, I've been fishing a couple of times with Rex. I reckon he could catch a fish in any water at any time of the day, anywhere in the world.
I'd agree with that. That's what I'm
That's correct.
Saying,
yeah. Well, why Absolutely. Would you have to go at 3?
Because...
This is just you're escaping from yourself.
Am I?
No, I'm asking
so
you.
So what are you now, Dr. Newman, eh?
I'm asking you, are you escaping from yourself?
I'm not escaping from anything. I'm trying to live life like I used to know it as normal, Sam, which is not quite the case at this stage.
You look completely normal to me as we speak here.
Well, I'm happy,
Rex.
About that.
Well, that, but
I'm working on it, Sam.
Well, then it's working, Rex. But I don't think it's normal. I don't honestly don't think it's normal to get up at 2 and 3 in the morning, get in a car, and drive to all points of Victoria on the pretense
going through Geelong to Lake Purren Beach, the other side of Colac.
On the pretense of fishing, you're escaping
no
from something.
The rods are in the back, the worms are in the back.
I
My
know
dog
that.
Was in the side.
The
I come
dog.
Back last week and I probably he said, He said, what's that? I said, that's my new dog. He said, well, get rid of it. It's a beautiful brand new whippet. I'm not getting rid of it.
Didn't say
you said, get rid of it.
I said, the dog goes round with you. It sits in the passenger seat of your car and it's your neck. It's your only best friend you got.
Rex, can thanks, I just Sam. Jump in here? Yes, how did you put up with him for so many years on the radio? I mean, he's a cantankerous, difficult,
he's a good friend of mine,
challenging person. How did you put up with him?
He's been very... sometimes understanding of what I'm going through, and it's a great source of strength to me. So thank you.
Did you two have much success as footballers? One was the captain of Geelong, and the other was the vice captain.
Mm. I would say that we started off slowly, then we completely slackened off.
No. We had great success.
You were captain, and he was vice captain of Geelong.
My best years at Geelong were in the years when we finished last on the ladder, and I think you were part of our side under Polly Farmer.
Yes.
And we finished last and second last respectively. But
vice captain of Geelong.
We played very good football for
him. I'm not saying you didn't. I just wondered how you two got on as captain and vice captain.
We got on very well.
You weren't ranting and raving prior to the game, Rex?
I didn't do a lot of that, did I?
What?
Ranting and raving before
prior
the game.
To the game?
What, in an effort to G the boys
yes.
up? Well, some people do that and others
don't.
It's
going to take 50 years here, Don. We just have to sort of get our thoughts right.
So, Rex, you went to... And this is another arm to your... bow to your string. String to your bow. You went to Channel 7 as a... They lured you over to Channel 7 on what basis? To do a fishing show or a football show?
Both.
Channel Rex, it was
both,
called.
Yeah.
I think I labelled you Channel Rex.
Yes, you did. Thank you. It was a very good promotion.
So you went over there to do what?
To replace Bruce McAvaney, who was very busy with Olympics and all that sort of stuff, on the Sunday footy show. And they actually had taken my fishing show, so it was just a matter of changing portfolios.
And did you have people in the top office tell you what to do and how to do
it? A few of them tried to, but then I showed them the ratings and showed them the revenue, and they just allowed me to do it, and I did it my way, and perhaps it came off, perhaps it didn't.
Now, what about the international personalities that you have met during your... during your career as a top fisherman, Rex, give us some anecdotes about some of the people you've come in contact with.
Well, it's not so much
with.
Met them, but have had lovely handwritten letters from
whom?
Liam Neeson, who is a fantastic actor and a celebrated fly fisherman actually in Ireland. And also I've had a lovely signed card from Sir Anthony Hopkins many, many years ago, because when he was in his caravan doing his movies, he came across my show and decided to say, I like your show.
And one of the top sports people, man, he is. This man, is he a man, the heavyweight...
Tyson Fury.
Tyson, yes. Couldn't think of his fucking name. Tyson Fury has reached out to you indirectly.
He has
become enamoured, Rex, with your fishing broadcast and
very
fishing
pleased
show.
About him. I'm enamoured with his boxing, because he can box, can't he?
The fishing show's relevant, doesn't matter when it's played. Is it syndicated now? Is it being shown?
Not that I know of, but it's quite possibly through a thing called networking to be in it. It got into countries that I didn't know it had been sold to, but that's just another matter.
You ever taken any recreational drugs? As in cocaine or...
Absolutely never. I've taken prescribed marijuana legally, which has been very, very successful for me in pain and also in helping with my sleep. And after that episode down at Geelong, they've banned me.
What? Who's
banned
you?
Well, inferring that I did not ever, ever take drugs and drive. It was as simple as that, because it's illegal.
What? Hang on. Who's banned you? Who's banned you for what? And what?
Well, the people who used to subscribe legally my THC and my...
For your own benefit, they...
For my own benefit, yes. on a legal prescription, will not supply me anymore.
Oh.
Because you are taking them at the wrong time of the day. You should be taking them at night rather than in the morning.
How do you know that?
Because that's the idea of it.
That's
the,
what we're on.
That's what.
Yeah. So anyhow, I can't get any pain relief or sleep now. So I'm just going to have to work through it, aren't I?
So are you comfortable us chatting to you about all this?
No, not really.
Why not?
Oh, because they're private things, and I'm just hoping that I can sort of improve my own behaviour and improve the behaviour and comfort of others, to knowing that someone of a high profile suffers as well.
Well, that's why we're speaking to you, Rex.
I'm fine.
Well, you should be comfortable with us, because.
I'm not proud of my family busting up and all that sort of thing, but, you know, shit happens, and it's as simple as that.
I don't know if it's as simple as that. But
no, it's not. It's a private matter. And it's
well, simple. It is a private matter, yeah. But if we're not going to speak about the bad, we should speak about the good, and this is a comprehensive look into what makes Rex Hunt tick, because you are well-known internationally, Rex. And
thank you, John.
That's all right, Rex. So where are you? Where are you headed now? Are we likely to see you lapse back into this unusual life of getting up at 1 and 2 in the morning, driving to all points of Victoria on the pretense of fishing? I know you have the rods in the back.
Pretense.
I know you have the rods in the back of that.
That's a big call. Me a liar.
I'm not calling you a liar.
What are you calling me?
Are you
on the pretense of going fishing
at 2 in the morning? I don't understand why you would think.
Well, you're not a fisherman.
No, that's true. I'm not a fisherman, and Rex can attest to that. A couple of times I've been out fishing.
Can I ask you something on a lighter note?
Yes, sir.
Did you? I know I used to think it was terrific, and I'd tune in about 5:30 at 3AW when I was driving home after the football, and I'd listen to your race calls.
Yes.
Now, did you practice those race calls? How long did it take you to master it? Because they were very, very funny.
They were just off the top. I just.
But you had to get the suit. Did you practice at home to get the rhythm going?
No, I didn't.
I can attest to the fact that they were off the top of the head. We used to do the football, and about 5:30 before we went off air at 6, Rex would say, right, well, we've got he had no interest in Ron and I and whoever the special comments people used to try and wrap up the game. And Rex would be sitting there with a couple of notes and he'd say, right, well, they're moving in at Bem River and off you go. And Stephen Price, who was the station manager, would ring up and say, Rex, I'm not sure that some of the names are a bit close to the wind about who you're mentioning and who the horses are. And Rex would say, righto, Stevie, and he would go on undeterred. And people used to just tune into the 3AW football broadcast just to listen to the race at the end of the whole.
We had people wanting to bet at Bem River Pub one day. He said, Broken Rubber and Brother Nelson of Late Scratchings. I said,
can I ask you another question?
The name's got more salacious and
Now, can I ask you another question from left field? You started your fishing in the Mordialloc Creek, is that right?
Mentone Pier in 1956.
Oh, Mentone. You didn't go down and fish in the creek at
After the Mentone Pier was demolished in 1957, I went to Mordialloc Creek in 1958 when Collingwood won the flag.
Okay, now I drove up that way today and I turned around the roundabout at the creek there at Mordialloc to get onto Beach Road. And what fascinates me was the boat builder that used to be there. The building has now been demolished. There was a boat builder or whatever. But there is still a hull of this big boat that fascinates me and is sitting there just by itself in a vacant lot. Mm. What is the story?
It's at Pompey's Boat Works and it's been there for 50 years and it's too heavy to move. It's something like 30 tonnes of wood, Tasmanian wood.
Waiting for the...
Well, how did they get it there in the first place? There was a flood.
I'll make a few inquiries and get back to you, Don. They built it there.
You live in Mordialloc. I've seen you walking up and down annoying people in Mordialloc Main Street.
Near the palm tree with a girl one day. The thing about it is it was just embarrassing. Don, that was embarrassing the day you did that.
Now, Rex, you're a copper.
Yes.
Why did you become a policeman and why did you get out of being a policeman?
Well, I became a policeman because I just... As a young kid, I didn't know what I was going to do, and it was suggested at me at an evening once at Mordialloc High School. So I joined the police cadets. And why I got out of the police department is I didn't have the guts to go on with it. All the jobs I used to do, the misfortune, being shot at, you know, knocking on a door saying your kid's been run over by a drunk. But I just fell out of love with it, and I just thought I'll give fishing and football a go.
So speaking about the football, People would be interested in this because you were an authority and you watched more games probably than, I don't know how many you broadcast, how many we went to the anniversary of, Robert Walls and I went to the anniversary of your 5,000th game.
No, it was my last game called, it was between St Kilda and Collingwood.
And how many games did you broadcast?
2,240.
And of through the journey, Rex, who are the people that you admired and impressed you the most in calling, either because you like calling them or you actually like the way they played football?
Oh, I certainly love Ron Brassey because he was the inspiration of me actually playing the football that I did. Mike Williamson was a fantastic fella. He got me across to 3DB and taught me how to really get my flow in my voice and all that sort of stuff. And of course, Harry Beitzel and Tony Charlton were just absolute doyens of the game that I was trying to replicate.
And you had a very good, successful relationship calling on air with Bill Jacobs, but probably
you'd call it that, would you?
You had a very successful.
We did, yeah, but we just
public relations
didn't get on. Yeah.
No, why didn't you get on?
Well, why didn't you and a few other people get on? You know, why would you cross the street and not say g'day to whoever? It just didn't happen. The chemistry wasn't right off the field, but on the microphone it was fantastic.
So you're both professional enough for it to work on the...
Absolutely.
Well, that's the secret of that's the secret of getting on, isn't
it,
Rex?
That is the secret, Sammy, yeah.
Yeah. So you've... So your relationships with, like with all people and all people in the media, were you wooed by the by people wanting to know you and cling on to you because of who you are?
Well, the phone doesn't ring a lot now, Sam, and that's fair enough. And that's just, you have your time, you move on and you try and do the best for what time you got left.
So you say the phone doesn't ring
a
lot.
No, it doesn't.
But people would be, so if you went to a sports function or a night.
Yeah.
People would be fascinated by the fact of what you could speak about, but people have been probably warned off you because they don't know what Rex Hunt is in reference to what Rex Hunt they're going to get on any given night.
If well,
they
we've get known that, that for 50 years, Sam.
What's that?
We've known that for 50 years.
No.
What Rex Hunt do you get?
No, because you can control that, but when you can't control it and you're mentally just on a downer...
If I was mentally on a down, I couldn't get out of bed and go to the function. When I go to function, Sam, I'm ready and raring to go.
And Rex, you were very much involved in a boxing match a couple of months ago, weren't you? You were emceeing at one of the boxing matches.
Yeah.
And that was one of those functions where you were really involved and very well received, I understand.
It was great. I introduced Sam Newman and told him what a dumb decision it was for Channel 9 to get the footy show and get a change of direction. Not so dumb to get the lady there, because that's just the way it goes. But you can get the lady without taking street talk off.
What do you mean the lady? No, what are you talking about?
I think it was Rebecca Madden came across from Channel Rex to Channel 9.
Are you on medication today? I can't follow you.
No, no.
You're the only one who can't follow me.
No,
the change of the football show started when they got Rebecca Madden...
Who? Rebecca Madden.
To join the Channel 9 footy show, and then they just said...
You got up in the boxing ring and said this.
Well, I got in the boxing ring and told Channel 9 that they were dumb and it cost us great entertainment over the years in street talk. I think that's what I said, didn't I?
Yeah, this wasn't a reflection on Rebecca Madden, who is a very fine...
No, but you wouldn't say that at a boxing match.
Can you tell us?
Sam Newman was in the ring. Into the ring.
Yeah, what was he in the ring for?
Oh, because I was a guest.
Let's get him on.
I was a guest. He was speaking to a committed audience there of people who went to the boxing.
Oh, so you were part of the deal.
He was.
There was another thing that happened that night, wasn't there, Rex, where you had to retrieve a bag for Seb Costello, who he had his bag stolen.
Oh, I haven't got a lot to say about that because it's been well worn. I saw page 3 in the Herald Sun, you know, with the Grand Torino Rex, and the next day someone had gotten run over or whatever.
Oh,
It was just quite amazing. But anyhow, I was sitting there during the halftime break because Johnny Van Wisher had knocked someone out and they had to play music for 20 minutes. And I noticed Seb Costello, Barry Michael and the other bloke, the Hammer, go out for a cup of tea, and this bloke came from behind the rope, picked up Seb's briefcase and took it into the toilet near where the shield is powder their nose in there next door to the
VIP.
So
the female toilet.
Well, I think it's a co-ed toilet. So
are
I've gone
sure?
in there.
You should be sure. You didn't follow him into the toilet,
Rex,
did you?
Rex, keep going. Tell us the story. Tell me the story.
It's not a story. It's a fact. And the thing about it is I went in there and I just retrieved the briefcase.
Into the female toilet.
No, I just... Well, it wasn't because toilets don't have a urinal with yellow lollies in the bottom, and this bloke that stole the briefcase didn't really appreciate the yellow lollies tasting that I gave him.
How do you know there lollies in the bottom of the urinal?
What, Don? Don, I got a feeling you're a more mentally fucked than Rex. What are you talking about? Rex.
Sam.
Rex. So here we are. Your life is in three stages. Is the past, the present, is the here and now, and
it's
the future.
It's here and now, yeah.
You can do nothing about the past.
No.
There's not a lot you can do about the future because you don't know what it holds. Where are we at the present? Where are you in your mind and in your public persona?
My mind is okay. I'm thinking pretty good. I'm looking forward to going fishing if I can get my shoulder fixed. But you've got an appointment with a good doctor next week, and I'm going in the next week to get my shoulder done.
Yeah, but you still fishing? Not surely you're going to get up at 1, 2, and 3 in the morning because you'd be asking for trouble if you're going to do that.
What type of trouble?
Well, exactly what people do apprehend you.
Where are the police?
What?
Where are the police at that time of the morning people?
Well, they can't do anything until you ring them and say you're being apprehended.
I rang them twice and they didn't come.
Rex?
Yes, Sam?
Is there anything you'd like to ask us? Or is this anything you'd like to say?
I'd like to congratulate you all for the 200th occasion. the 200th occasion for...
Who have been your great friends through your time of crisis? Not us. Present company excluded.
Well.
You've had a lot of support from people. I've had plenty of people ring me who don't actually know you, but they're interested in your well-being. It must be gratifying to know that because you have been a star to a lot of people, whether they like you or not.
It's fair enough too. And if it is to be, it is up to me. Shagger said that, Brassy, didn't he? So I've just got to work it through and just take every day as it comes. And if I'm of interest to someone, well, that's, you know, big fizz. But if I can help somebody and say, well, someone like me got it, so it's as simple as that.
Anyhow, Rex, it's great to see. I wasn't sure how you would turn up today and in what state of mind you'd be, but you are absolutely sane and normal and how I used to know you. So this is an encouraging sign.
Thank you, Sam.
Is it not?
It is, Sam. Isn't it, Don?
Well, how about you sign off with your famous call sign?
Okay, Sam, okay, Fiona, and okay, Don, you absolute imbecile. This has been Rex, Sam, Fee, and John Newman. Smart ass Sam is the term, and you can't be serious. Yibbida yibbida. Was I just on?